Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, for month after month after month, we've been talking about how the jobs picture is bleak. And for the most part, it is still pretty bleak when you look at all the statistics involved. We talked about how the dropping unemployment rate really wasn't reflective of a great deal of job creation, but more of a factor of people taking part-time jobs and leaving the labor force. We've talked about your analogy with the toys a number of times. But for the month of December, you got to say it's pretty encouraging. 200,000 jobs created. The unemployment rate overall ticks down officially to 8.5%. But when you factor in those other things, it's still well into double figures. You've still got 20 million people who are either under or unemployed. Some of the jobs created, there's a big surge in messengers and couriers, which isn't necessarily the greatest thing you want, but at least it looks like things are headed in the right direction. The political timing might not be the greatest thing for Republicans, but if jobs are being created, that is a good thing.
Yeah, Greg, one of the things I'm thinking about is that if the big growth in the job creation was in messengers and couriers, all we really need is one Christmas per month for the rest of the year, and we'll be on easy street. So, or maybe Christmas every 2 weeks or something. So, I debated whether this should be the good martini, and I think any month in which you're getting 100 and some genuine, you know, new job creation, look, that's a good thing. We should not have any illusions of how much ground we have lost over the last couple of years and how much ground we have to make up. I think it was Nathan Wurzel who observed that if we create 200,000 new jobs every, you know, each month, we should get back to pre-recession levels of unemployment sometime in Obama's fifth term. So, you know, by that, you know, it'd be like 2030 or so, it sounds like. So it's obviously a lot, but look, it is good to have. Some of this came, about 50,000 of this came from the job, the workforce shrinking. The workforce has shrunk by about 7.5 million people since January 2007. Even another great measuring stick is to observe that for the last 3 years, which just happens to coincide with Obama's presidency, the labor force shrank by about 350,000 people. That's, you know, not good when people are leaving the workforce. Usually like to see it go up. How much does it usually go up? Well, the preceding 3 years, 4.4 million Americans joined the workforce. So we still have a lot of ways to make back. But all in all, this is the, you know, one of those few job report numbers in which we can say, okay, there is genuine good news in here. And I think enough Americans have had enough hard times to celebrate any little bit of good news we can get.
Yeah, I can only imagine how much the administration's going to try and trumpet this. But just as all those messengers and couriers and other folks were hired for the holiday season, it'll be interesting to see what the January numbers are about a month from now when most of those jobs, those temporary holiday season jobs are done away with. So we'll find out, I guess, in a few weeks. Jim, as regular as clockwork, if a person vying for the Republican nomination is surging to the front in the polls, you can bet that the long knives will be out in one way or another. And that, of course, is something that Rick Santorum needs to expect now following his surge in Iowa, his photo finish with Mitt Romney, which we'll talk about in the crazy martini. But now Santorum coming under scrutiny in a number of ways, and one that could potentially do him some damage here. This comes from a January 5th piece in the Washington Post, which talks about Santorum being pretty cozy with lobbyists and actually becoming one once he left the Senate after he was defeated for re-election in 2006. But here's the part that could possibly get him in the biggest trouble. In the Senate, for example, the story says, quote, he played a pivotal role in advancing the controversial K Street Project, a highly organized effort to pressure industry groups and lobbying firms to hire Republicans for influential jobs and punish those who brought in Democrats. Santorum oversaw regular Tuesday meetings with lobbyists in which he solicited their views on pending legislation and discussed potential jobs, according to documents and news reports and a lobbyist who attended the meetings. Now, none of that is illegal, and it's obviously not very popular at all. And for a guy who claims to be an outsider, the son of the coal miner, as he's liking to say, and blue-collar roots, that may be technically true. But with a time like that in Washington, it's going to be kind of hard for him to claim that he's going to be the one to clean up the mess.
Is this a reason to vote against Santorum? Probably not. I mean, you know, of all the things he's ever done in his life, there are probably bigger problems or bigger reasons, not support Toomey in 2004, or whatever comes to mind. But I saw this, it was in the front page of the Washington Post this morning, and the K Street Project, I think, is a particularly ignoble moment in the history of congressional Republicans. it came from their observation that most of the big lobbying firms and interest groups in town were represented by Democrats and former Democratic congressional staffers, and they wanted to help some of their guys get some of these jobs. These jobs are pretty darn lucrative. You know, wanting to help out your employees is not the most terrible desire in the world, but in the end, this turned into kind of a revolving door for how to reward people on congressional staff and ways to, you know, put powerful industry groups and congressional Republicans even more in bed with each other. And of all the things that Republicans were sent to Washington to do, get your staffers in the big lobbying firms was item perhaps 999 out of the first 1,000 things they were supposed to do. So Santorum, and you know, he said he wasn't that involved with it. Grover Norquist says, oh yes, he was. It's not it's really not a flattering moment in Santorum's career. Is this a reason to not support him? No, I don't think so. I just think it's worth kind of, I saw that, was reminded of that, and said, oh, drat. Besides being a you know, easy target, if Santorum would be the Republican nominee, I just look at it as it's hard to not see the K Street Project as anything but a major error in judgment on the part of congressional Republicans. And Santorum having a hand in that for as long as he did does not really fill us with warm, fuzzy feelings. So, you know, it's a bad martini. That's my judgment on that. Probably not going to derail Santorum or anything, but, you know, just a showman that, you know, he's no Tom Coburn. And you've got to say he's no Pat Toomey.
Well, Jim, it also just
not kind of, that I carry a grudge over that.
Not at all. It's only been 7-8 years. You know, it'll ebb over time, maybe a little. It just brings back to me the bad taste in the mouth and the, in many ways, wasted opportunity of 2001 to 2007 when Bush was president and Republicans, for the most part, controlled Congress, except for a little bit in the Senate there in those first couple of years. And the lack of spending control, the crony capitalism, the Duke Cunningham story, the Bob Ney story, Jack Abramoff, and just all that stuff that gummed up the works and prevented real conservative principles from being advanced at a time when the table was totally set for that to happen. And the GOP dropped the ball. It seems to some extent that they've learned their lessons, but time will tell, and we'll see if Rick Santorum has learned his lesson, if he ends up advancing at all in this primary and caucus season. Mm-hmm. On to martini number three now, and Jim, it's almost like the mob. Just when you thought you had gotten out of Iowa, it's sucking you back in, thanks to the razor-tight finish between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum on Tuesday night. Officially an 8-vote margin of victory for Mitt Romney. And we established earlier in the week that none of that really matters a whole lot when it comes to apportioning delegates later on. But nonetheless, there is controversy. Controversy because a small caucus of just over 50 people in south to southeast Iowa, apparently, according to at least one person who was there who jotted down the totals to post on his Facebook page, says Mitt Romney got too many votes. Here's the report from Edward True, who is actually a Ron Paul supporter, as reported by an Iowa TV station.
When Mitt Romney won Iowa by 8 votes, and I've got a 20-vote discrepancy here, that right there says Rick Santorum won Iowa, not Mitt Romney.
So according to this guy, Jim, Romney had 2 votes at the caucus, and he got 22 votes actually allotted to him by the state Republican Party when they were totaling everything up. The official vote's not certified, and most people seem to suggest that it's a dead heat anyway, so it's not going to make a huge difference for the nomination fight. But it just goes to show that, another little bit of a black eye here for Iowa.
Way to go, Iowa. No. for what it's worth, the Iowa GOP chairman, Matt Strawn, says, look, we have a 2-week certification process. We're not going to respond to these rumors, but we've been in contact with the county officials, and we don't think there's any reason to think that the outcome, that the results of the county will change. So they don't seem to think there's anything, you know, going on here. I can't help but get the feeling you kind of knew it was going to be a Ron Paul supporter, didn't you, Greg? Yeah. Now, having said that, the guy's name is Edward True, so, you know, if you're going to make a shocking allegation like this, better to have the name Edward True say as in a true statement rather than say Charlie Bogus or something like that. So, look, this is worth going back and checking. It's entirely possible that we've seen these types of errors get made before. It's also possible that Mr. True made some sort of recording error or something, or he misheard something, or we'll see how that turned out. So. If it does turn out that Santorum did indeed win, well then, congratulations, Rick Santorum. I think most people were treating his razor-thin second-place finish as a de facto win for him, so I don't think it'll have an enormous psychological impact. And look, when you get, a very, very close finish like this, then it only takes one error to alter the results. As you said, however, those of us who as president of the I Don't Like the Iowa Caucus Starting This Off Club, just one more reason to perhaps reevaluate how we go through all this. And it sounds like if this was made, that was probably a innocent mistake or a recording error or something like that. At least I don't think Mr. True is alleging some vast conspiracy to put Romney over the top or anything like that. But it would just be a slight embarrassment to do this. I seem to recall way back in 1988 when on the Democratic side, I believe it was Paul Simon versus Dick Gephardt.
Right.
I believe that actually Paul Simon actually won. But by the time the early ones came in, by the time the 11 o'clock newscast began, people believed that Gephardt had won by a solid margin, and so they treated him as the winner, and really Paul Simon should have. Mickey Kaus has written about this a few times. So, look, this is one more reason caucuses are bad. We shouldn't do them. At the very least, start them earlier in the evening.
Yeah, I'll chalk it up to a person drinking coffee late at night who accidentally hit the 2 button twice on the computer, but let's hope they get it right, even if the impact is not all that significant. Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.